Welcome to Arrested Hand Free with the Sheriff's Daughter, your host, Julianne Harris. Arrested Hand Free delivers an edgy but uplifting message about faith and God's grace. And now here is your host, the Sheriff's Daughter, Julianne Harris.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to Arrested and Free with the Sheriff's Daughter. I am the Sheriff's Daughter, and I've been arrested by God's goodness, His grace, His love, His kindness, His loving kindness. And I've been set free from disaster and depression and sickness and pain and every bad thing that Jesus paid for me to be set free from. So I just want to welcome you again this morning at 6 o'clock on KRDO News Radio. I've been having a lot of fun doing this show, if you guys haven't noticed. If you've just tuning in for the very first time, yes, I am a sheriff's daughter. My dad is a sheriff in eastern Montana, and I just have a few things to say, and I'm really excited. Well, a few things. Actually, I have a whole lot to say. However, I'm really excited because I've been getting feedback from a few individuals, and that is what I'm doing this show for. I'm telling you, I'm not doing this show for any other reason than because God put it on my heart to do it, and for me to share the things that have set me free in my life. So first, I want to acknowledge my great uncle who has sent me a message, and we've been having a wonderful conversation going back and forth. Thank you for reaching out to me. Also, a couple weeks ago, I had a gal named Anne that called me. And, you know, praise God, what she heard on the radio, she just happened to hear my show. And I was talking about the goodness of God. And Anne is 80 years old, and she's been struggling with depression. And she said that when she heard what I had to say about the goodness of God, it snapped her out of that. And suddenly, she started remembering all the goodness, all the good things God had done for her throughout her 80 years. And guess what she did? She got up, she made herself a resume, she has dreams and hopes, and now she is gung-ho for God and gung-ho for the purpose and plans that God has put in her heart. So praise God, that's what I do this show for. You know, I also want to thank my partners that are helping pay for this show. It's a blessing. And you know, every life that has changed, you are a part of, simply by helping me put this on the air. So praise God. So I've been talking and I've been saying so a whole bunch, so I'll try to stop doing that. You know, it's kind of funny when I listen to myself, I hear a whole bunch of stuff that I'm like, ooh, stop saying that. Oh no. Ooh, she said it again. Bear with me. I've never been on the radio before other than these few episodes that I've recorded. So praise God. Let's get back into the word. You know, I've been talking about how God is a good God, and I've been asking everyone and challenging everyone, what are you believing about God? Because it is making a difference in your life. Some of you may think, no, I never think about God and it's no big deal. Well, if that's where you're at, I want to tell you right now, it is a big deal. Because this life is but a moment, but a second in all of eternity. This life is so inconsequential compared to eternity. And I want people to understand the importance of what they believe about God. I went through 20-some years of believing the wrong thing about God and how He saw me and how He dealt with me, and it kept me miserable. I'm telling you, it's miserable. And I think a lot of times we don't understand how miserable we are until we're set free from that misery, and then we're like, wow, I never knew. You know, like for me, for example, when I went to Bible school, when I went to Caris Bible College, something just clicked in my head to where I was like, I could care less about what I ate and if I worked out and if I gained weight. So I gained a whole lot of weight when I went to Bible school. And so I, through the past couple of years, have just been, you know, it was a life change. So I started eating different. I started working out. And now I feel so good. And when I was feeling so bad, I didn't know how bad I was feeling until now, where I'm feeling good. And I want to liken that to, what are you believing about God? Maybe you don't think about God, and maybe you don't think it makes a difference. But when you do believe the right things about God, when you have given your heart, when you have accepted the payment of Jesus, when you've believed in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, and you have confessed with your mouth that God raised Him from the dead, when you do that, you change. Your inside has changed, and there's a freedom, there's a lightness. And it's indescribable. I'm telling you, if you have not done that, you need to do that. because that is what ushers you into an eternity in the presence of God. And if you don't think you need to do that, well, I'm just going to challenge you. And God's working on your heart. He's been speaking to you. And so I believe that you are going to hear my voice echo through your head that you need to call on the name of Jesus and take his payment for your sins so that you don't have to pay for your sins. You know, once you realize the importance of what you believe about God. Now, some of you may have given your heart to God and you're miserable. That's where I was for 20 some years. It was like I felt that initial freedom and that grace. But then what happens is we go and we hear these things that are contrary to the true nature of God. We hear that God only loves you when you're doing good. No, that's not true. God is love. It isn't something that comes and goes, that I've said this a lot, so bear with me for the folks that listen to my episode every Saturday morning on KRDO News Radio. So just bear with me because I just know somebody out there is hearing this and that you are saved and stuck. Which, speaking of which, I had another person, I'm glad I remembered, I had another person that sent me a message on my ministry website, and it wasn't even through the radio, which is even more wild. It was through an interview that I did with Andrew Womack on his Inside Story, and her mother wanted her to hear my story. And you know, it's heartbreaking because what that message said was, when she sent me this message, she said, I finally watched it. My mom wanted me to watch your interview. She's been sending me the link for, you know, a couple months now. And she says, and I relate to you. I'm exactly where you were at. Between the moves, the jobs, the feeling miserable. She's like, and I don't know what else to say other than I'm stuck. And that was the end of the message. And you know, it's like, if I wish I could reach through somehow and just give her a big hug and let her know that God loves her. She's not going to hear this, but I know this is, I'm not the only one that went through all of this. And so praise God, I have found victory. And that's what I'm wanting to share with you. So God loves you. And God has so much in store for you, so much good and not evil. You know, I talked about that in James. God, every good gift and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. God does not tempt with evil, neither is he tempted with evil. God is a good God. So last week, I was discussing, you know, the three different portions of the Bible. And how huge this was to my victory, my seeing victory in my life. So as I mentioned last week, we have one section that is before the law came. So that is before God implemented his holy law. There was a whole section there where sin was not imputed. We read that in Romans. It said that sin was in the world, but it was not imputed. And I explained what that meant. Then we move from that section to the next section was when Moses brought the law, and he brought the law to the Israelites. I never heard in my entire life one time that the law was only intended for the Israelites, because I heard nothing but law. Okay, calm down. I'm getting a little loud here. I heard going to church my whole life, in and out of church, struggling, partying for seasons, going to church for seasons, thinking I was right with God when I wasn't partying, but always went back to partying because I couldn't be good enough for God because of his holy law and me not being able to abide by it. Look, folks, the law was only intended for the Israelites. When God brought the law, it wasn't for the whole world. It was only for the Israelites. I'm not an Israelite. You're not an Israelite. Well, maybe some of you are. But either way, that was a whole section in the Bible. So that's in the Old Testament. You have the time before the law came, and then you have the time after the law came. And in the future, I'm going to get into why God brought the law. What was the purpose of the law? A lot of people just think it's just because he wants Christians to be boring. No, that's not it. Or a lot of religious folk think, well, that's because God can't love you unless you obey the law. No. All through the Old Testament, you can see God says, don't do this so that it might go well with thee. So that it might go well with thee. Praise God. God doesn't set a standard and say, don't do this. He doesn't say, don't murder. Thou shalt not commit murder, you know, just for whatever, to cut your fun out, I guess. No, he does it because that causes wreckage and mayhem, and it hurts people and it hurts you. Man, I hope you guys can see it. You know, a lot of this law talk is for our benefit. It wasn't for us to relate to God with. Now, in the Old Testament, before Jesus came, they couldn't be saved. They didn't have grace. He was trying to rope them in, but I don't want to get into that right now. So, and then the third section of the Bible is the New Testament. So we were talking about last week about Adam and Eve and the revelation that God gave me about how Adam and Eve, when they sinned and God put them out of the garden, I grew up believing, because I was taught it, that he put them out of the garden because he couldn't socialize with unholy man. And by the way, if you can't catch the rest of this episode, I want you to either call me at my phone number, which is 970-919-0459. I can send you the link. Otherwise, you can go to Facebook and find me at Arrested and Free. You can also go to my ministry website, juliesministry.org, or you can go to krdo.com, go to podcasts, and find me under Arrested and Free. So Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden. Why? Not because God couldn't socialize with an unholy man. He kicked them out of the garden out of love. He kicked them out of the garden because he did not want them to eat of the tree of life and live forever, now that they had given dominion over to the enemy, over to the devil, and now sickness, death, every bad curse came into the world. And if they would have eaten of the tree of life and been able to live forever, they could have never died. And you know what, folks? If our body continues to decay, which it did, the minute that Adam and Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, sin and curse entered the world. It was not created there. God did not create sickness. Let me say that again. God did not create sickness. God did not create us to die. It says in the Word that the devil is the author of death. He is the author of death. God never created that. So, and sickness is nothing but just a prolonged process of death. Really, it is. I mean, if you've known somebody that's chronically ill, it is just a prolonged progression to death. And can you imagine being able to, having to live forever, but constantly having that slow progression? Man, that's miserable, right? So out of love, God pushed them out of the Garden of Eden. And to me, this is huge, you guys, because God is not angry with us. And I want to put this newsflash up there. No matter how good you are, you're never good enough to meet God's standards. You're never going to be perfect. You know, a lot of us want to compare ourselves amongst ourselves and measure ourselves by ourselves. And the Word says it is not wise to do that. Because what happens is we start saying, well, I did this, but at least it's not as bad as that guy over here. You know, that's ridiculous, because all that does is it sets a really stupid standard, but you're never going to be good enough. That's why you have to believe on Jesus. So I'm getting off track here for some reason, but however, let's get back to Adam and Eve. And now they're pushed out of the Garden of Eden. So then it says that Adam knew his wife. We're in Genesis chapter 4. So I'm going to read this to you, because now this deals with Cain and Abel, because Adam and Eve had two sons at this point. And one was named Cain, and one was named Abel. So if we pick up at Genesis chapter 4, verse 3, it says, "And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect with Abel and to his offering." So here was the next question in my mind. So yeah, God put Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden, not because he was upset with them, not because he couldn't communicate or fellowship with ungodly man. He put them out of love, so that they couldn't live forever in their fallen state. So me and the mouse in my pocket would always wonder, well, then what happened with God and Adam and Eve after they left the Garden of Eden? Like, did God still communicate with them? Well, we can see this clearly if you take time to think about it, that it says here that Cain and Abel both brought an offering to God. It wasn't like they just suddenly decided one day, I'm going to bring an offering. No, that shows that there's communication. There's something going on. Because in the Garden of Eden, it isn't like Adam and Eve learned to give an offering to God. No, that happened sometime after Adam and Eve left the Garden of Eden. So there's obvious communication in there. So let's keep reading. So we're in Genesis chapter 4, verse 5. It says, "But unto Cain and his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain," so right there, the Lord's speaking to Cain, the Lord's speaking to unholy man. Pretty interesting, isn't it? Because God, he doesn't flinch at all the badness that we sometimes do. Let's remember, we're in the first section to where sin is not imputed. Sin was in the world, but it was not imputed. So the Lord says unto Cain, "Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, thou shalt not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him." Okay, so we're in verse 8, and it says, "And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass," now listen up, folks, "when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against his brother Abel and slew him." I just want to paint the picture here. You know, it says something, I can't remember how many thousands of murders that children will witness on TV, between video games, between all this stuff. By the time they're 18, they've witnessed like hundreds of thousands of murders. Okay, what I just read to you was the very first murder ever known. It was unprecedented. Like, it wasn't like Cain grew up watching murder on TV or anything like this. This was something completely new and completely horrible. He didn't just murder anybody. Not that murdering anybody is good, but he murdered his very own brother. You guys, this is bad, bad stuff. Do you understand that? This is bad. And so you would think, well, God couldn't want to have anything to do with Cain, would he? Well, let's read a little further. So in verse 9, chapter 4, verse 9, "And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?" Man, so here's the deal. First of all, if God appears to you, if God appeared and spoke to me in an audible voice, like I say, I would probably just fall over dead because that's just amazing. Or I'd probably just fall on my face and start worshiping God because I could truly see how good he is and how much love he has. But the fact that Cain basically lied to God, there's a sense of familiarity. So obviously there's been fellowship between God and Cain. But look at Cain's heart. Look at his unrepentant heart. And he lied. Bold-faced lie. It wasn't like God didn't know where Abel was. He was searching to see where Cain was at. And I'm asking you and challenging you today, where is your heart at? When God is asking you, what are you doing with your life? Are you going to just do a bold-faced lie to God? Because he already knows the answer. But he's searching for those hearts that are true and pure towards God. And he can bless that. But if you don't understand who God is and that he's approaching you in a positive manner, coming from a place of ultimate love, then you are going to have a negative response. So it says that Cain said, "I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?" Wow, what a snotty attitude. And he said, and this is where God says, "What have you done? What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries unto me from the ground." And now, he says, "Now you are cursed from the ground." Do you understand that our sin affects the world around us? Do you understand that we were formed from the dust of the earth? Adam was formed from the dust of the earth. Do you understand that you can speak life or death to the ground? I know that's really weird. I'm going to move off of that quickly. Otherwise, if you want to talk to me about it, please give me a call at 970-919-0459. It's very important and a whole lot to wrap your mind around, and I don't want to lose y'all. So basically, my point is God did not shy away from Cain because he was the first murderer. Let's go down to... So I'm just going to summarize these because we're about to come to an end. So I'm going to summarize these scriptures. So what basically happened is Cain was like, "This is more than I can bear." Because God's like, "This is what's going to happen to you. The ground is cursed. It's going to be a rough life." And Cain basically said, "My punishment is greater than I can bear," in verse 13. And in verse 14, it says, "Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth. God didn't drive him out, but this is what sin does to you, folks. Cain understood at that moment the evil that had transpired, and he's standing before a holy God. And when you sin, you automatically disqualify yourself. You are the one who separates yourself from God's love. God didn't say, you have, in verse 14, it says, behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth. God didn't drive him out. That was Cain's sin and his guilty conscience doing this. And from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that finds me shall slay me, is what Cain's saying. Somebody, they're going to kill me when they find out that I what I did to my brother. And here's what God said. And the Lord said unto him, he says, therefore, in verse 15 of chapter 4 of Genesis, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. Wow, he protected the first murderer, you guys. This is our God. He's love. And then in verse 16, it says, and Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod and on the east of Eden. Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. What are you believing about God? Do you think God is ashamed of you? Do you think God is hiding his face from you? Because he's not. I want to challenge you this week. Think about Cain and think about being, he was the first murderer and God protected him. And then Cain left the presence of God. Have you left the presence of God? Because if you have, I want to give you an opportunity to give your heart to God. And if you've given your heart, if you've confessed with your mouth that Jesus is the Son of God, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you are saved. And if you've already done that, you need to think about what you're believing about God. So, hey, everybody, I just want to thank you for tuning in today. I'm sorry I had to kind of rush up this ending, but thank you for tuning in to KRDO News Radio at 105.5 FM, 1240 AM, and 92.5 FM. If you want to listen to this episode again, because I know I threw a lot out at you and I was kind of all over the place, which I apologize for. However, if you want to listen to it again, please go to Facebook, Arrested and Free. That's Arrested, A-N-D-F-R-E-E. Or you can go to my ministry website, which is juliesministry.org. It's juliesministry.org. Or you can go to krdo.com, click on radio, then click on podcast, and you can find me there under Arrested and Free. And you know what? And thank you for calling. If somebody else is out there, even if you're struggling with something, if something is going wrong in your life, or if you have a positive testimony to tell me, I want to hear about it at 970-919-0459. And you know, I'm going to pose a question to you today. And that question is, what have you always believed about God? It can be a one-liner, harsh, punishment, you know, whatever. Or it can be love. What have you always believed about God? I would like to hear from you on that at 970-919-0459. And remember, catch me every week, 6 o'clock in the morning on Saturdays on KRDO News Radio. Bye.
I know you are the reason why the world's so beautiful.
The preceding was a paid program on KRDO News Radio. KRDO News Radio does not confirm nor deny the validity or accuracy of the information contained in this program. And the views expressed do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of the staff and management of KRDO News Radio.
Reason why the light shines all around.